Lord, thank you again for allowing this outreach so we could all get together again and tell of the things that you've shown us this week. Tell of the things that you've done this week. Tell of all the prayers that's been answered. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. Father, as we come together and share the word, share the testimonies and whatever else is on our hearts, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for bringing us along, helping us to cut out, dig out that old flesh in us, killing it, and allowing the spiritual man to come forth and be a part of this ministry, be a part of this kingdom that you've gotten for us. Lord, I just thank you for the work that you're doing in everybody, bringing us along to where we can be a help to a lot of people here in the near future when things start going south on us. Lord, I thank you for giving us bold faith, great and bold faith to believe your word, because your word is what we've got, that we stand on obedience to the word. Lord, is the great and wonderful thing that you want out of all of us. Above all things else, Lord, you want obedience. And I thank you, Lord, that you're placing that in us to obey and to follow. And I thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished tonight. And I ask that you work through us, talk through us, whatever it is that that you want us to speak about, Lord. Everybody here, and I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Ooh, my goodness, I went out, and there was four or five, and then to come back, and there was, gracious, 12 of them. No, 16. Some of that Arkansas multiplier. Okay. Let's see. What about some prayer requests? We have any prayer requests? Yeah, Matt, go ahead, brother.
I've got a couple. The first one is I went for an interview within the company for a forklift job. And the interview went pretty good, and they're going to let me know tomorrow whether I got it or not. So. Lord, I just lift that up to you, that you will be done, Lord, on this, and let me get out of glory for this in Jesus' name.
Is this a little bit better, John?
Second.
Is this a
less? Yeah, it's less physical.
Less what?
So physical.
Oh, okay.
And the next one is I wanted to pray for a family today. A friend of mine who I was kind of ministering to, died last night. At first I heard it was an overdose, but then found out from the mother that it was a dirty needle that she stuck in herself. So she left behind two little kids. So I just want to pray for that family right quick. Lord, I just lift up the whole family to this young lady, Father, that you would you just comfort them in this time, Lord, that you would show them that your love, your grace, and your mercy, Father, and Lord, help those kids to adjust and to just love you, Lord. And not to blame you at all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, your word says that all things work together for the good to those who love you, Lord. And I believe that you're going to work something good out of all of this in Jesus' name. And I ask and I pray, Father, that your hand be upon her children and her. Has she got a husband? Or yeah, okay. That, her family, Lord, that they would grow up in you, Lord, that you would come to her, bring them, guide them, and lead them In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Yep, it takes a lot of them. All right, anyone else?
I'd like to lift up my sister. She kind of getting her life on track, but she's had some heart problems and was supposed to get a heart cath this week, and they were in the middle of it and got found blockage, and basically I think they had to shock her back and stop the procedure. They've got her in the hospital, and time will tell. Kind of, I wouldn't say touch and go, but they, the stuff they want to do for her, they're having trouble getting there right now. So she needs a miracle on every kind of level you can think of, and she'll get it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I guess I should pray for my sister Shelly. Lord, I lift her up to you and her family, and I thank you, Lord, for ministering to her. We send the words of life and healing to her right now, and comfort, and let her know that she's not alone, Father, and just minister to her, put a grace in her life to seek you and seek your word. And Father, to lean on your wisdom like she's never leaned on it before. Father, I thank you for her testimony that she's coming through this, and that she will have a wonderful testimony and a peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with George, and we believe everything he's prayed is going to happen in the name of Jesus. We speak miracles upon his sister in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that she is going to come back with that wonderful testimony. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Anybody got a praise report?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Marlon, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I got a praise report. Remember a couple weeks ago, I had a CAT scan to see if there's any more cancer left. And it showed that there wasn't. Well, the doctors, they weren't satisfied. They wanted me to have a colonoscopy, too. And we always told them, even before the CAT scan, that we knew it was healed, that the Lord healed us. But I went ahead and had the colonoscopy yesterday, and it showed no cancer. And
amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. And we'd always, when something like that would come along, you know, we'd always praise the Lord, even from the doctors or nurses, whatever it was. And this one doctor, he made the comment, I said, praise the Lord. I believed I was healed at the cross. And he said, well, it doesn't work that way. And you'd be surprised along the way, you know, the things we went through, how many you can tell whether they're doctors or nurses or believers or not, because of their, the way they react and how they talk and stuff. But anyway, I just, through this trial, all the things that we saw, miracles and all the ways the Lord worked, we just thank him and praise him for when you go into a trial like that, it's hard to see how there's any, you know, you think it's terrible, but as we look back, we can see how he worked in our family with our daughters. We have three daughters, and excuse me, they're just totally different people. I mean, they call now and ask for prayer, and they speak what we speak. I know my one daughter made the comment, well, I believe it's already done, and you know, you never would have heard that before. But going through these trials, the Lord works in many different ways. I mean, we can see how he worked in us, and the people around us and our family, and just and like you said, you know, you get a chance to see some miracles, and we did saw several miracles through this trial. I mean, people even made the comment that, you know, that was a miracle. Both of us with our heart. I mean, it was a miracle that God healed us both, our hearts. My wife went in, and when they found out, when they got in there, they found out she didn't need what they said she needed. And so I just encourage anyone that's going through a trial to just cooperate with the Lord, because he's working in many ways, ways you don't even realize. So just praise the Lord through all this, all the trial we went through. Praise him that there's no more cancer. It's all gone. Jesus' name.
Amen. I wish Bruce was on. Yeah. That'd be good. I believe he'll get a boost in faith. Thank you, Lord.
It's sometimes it's not easy, you know. It's easy to tell other people. You gotta speak the word, and you gotta stand on the promises. But when it comes to something really serious, and it's you, it's not always the easiest thing to do. But that's what we need to do.
Amen. I believe that too. Thank you, Marlon. That's going to help a lot of folks out there. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Let me just pray just for a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Marlon again to you. Lord, I thank you for the mighty miracle that you provided them, and that they are giving you the glory, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to gain weight. He's gaining strength every day, Lord. It won't be long before he'll be coming down for a visit, him and Gano. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for the wonderful work you've done in Marlon and his family in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else?
Malcolm here.
Hey, Malcolm here. What's happening?
Greetings, everybody. Well, I've just wanted to start walking, and it's I think what's been happening with me is I have I've learned a lot intellectually in the past few years about walking in faith and whatnot. But I haven't seen myself really walking in faith myself. It's just I learned about it. And I've heard some people say that when you do that, then you more and more fear develops. And, you know, it's easy to just kind of give up after a couple of years or whatever when you're believing for something and just kind of give up and, you know, do the easy thing, go and get glasses or go get whatever to fix whatever the problem is. And I've got plenty of things that I could start working, you know, trying to exercise faith for. And one thing was I have a molar that's it needs a root canal that's dead. The nerves are dead. So either it needs a root canal or it needs to be extracted. So the other day I was getting in pretty bad pain from infection at that tooth. And I thought, well, it'd be my first tooth to get extracted if I go that route. And I thought, well, I could get extracted or I could get a root canal, but they'd have to schedule that out at least a month, which is not going to solve this current pain problem. So I thought, okay, I need something to start exercising faith on here. And it seems to be, I'm rife for that. I have plenty of things I can exercise faith for. And this is one of them. So I just decided to start claiming that the abscess, you know, the infection is gone. Actually, I'm just thanking God that God's completely restoring everything. The bone and the gums and the teeth and everything, which is a lot of work, but not for God. But anyway, my immediate thing I was praying for was that this infection would go away. So all day long and night it was pretty painful and kind of hard to get by, but I couldn't chew over there at all on that side of my mouth. But the next day, I felt absolutely zero pain there. I didn't even feel any sensation. So I thought, yes, a little victory. So I was pretty excited about that. I really want to start, you know, exercising faith in little, you know, at least little things like that. Of course, if it gets super, super painful, then you get desperate, and then it's easy to, you know, and I'm not trying to lay guilt trip on people who try to resolve things, you know, by getting their tooth extracted or whatever. It's just that I really want to get going on this walking by faith, because as we all know, there's going to come a time when that's going to be the only option, is to walk by faith. We won't have like an out. It's available with doctors and all the other things. You know, God's going to call it quit to that. You know, the other options other than himself. So anyway, I was just excited about that little thing there. The last couple of days here, I've been just happy about that.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, talking about the teeth now, he's talking about pain. I don't know if you sound like you've never had a root canal.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, have you?
Okay. Well, you yeah, know pain. Terrible, yeah.
Okay, and then as far as extracting, that's pain too. I'd rather go God's route. You know what I'm talking about?
I know. It's a lot cheaper.
Well, not only that, it's a lot less painful.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm praying, I'm thanking God that the few dead teeth that are there, they're going to come back to life. The nerves are going to come back, and the bones start to come back up, so they're not quite so wiggly, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for perfect porcelain coming back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Or do you want silver? Or we could even pray for gold too, Malcolm.
No, just a normal tooth, just normal okay. Normal stuff. I don't want any of the fake stuff in there.
Okay.
By the way, I had a little kerfuffle with a neighbor here. And
what?
A kerfuffle. A little. I asked them if they could let me know if they do certain things that pertain to what I, you know, my responsibilities. And it became, they didn't want to do that. So it was just a big deal. So that's the reason I'm making Fledge here, to try to go and take it over and see if I can make peace with him. Amen. But this is a much bigger issue than any kind of healing or anything else. And that is that we have no bitterness and have no, and actually forgive from the heart. So that when we think of any occurrence that might've happened with people around us, that nothing comes up that is, and you know that it's happening when you're trying to, you know, like I'll be in the shower and I'll think of a perfect comeback. okay, so then you know there's a root of bitterness going on there. There's resentment. So if you're looking for these perfect comebacks and you're trying to find ways to win or whatever, I just think about Jesus, who on the cross he says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I really believe that he didn't have any resentment toward these people. that were doing these terrible things, that he, you know, he forgave him completely from the heart, which is a little overwhelming to think about. But of course, on the cross, he forgave us from his heart too. So anyway, I don't want to have any kind of root of bitterness. And I think what's good about what happened with this neighbor was that I think over time and over the years, you start, if you're not careful, you can develop kind of unease about a person or you're not comfortable with them. You have to be careful that doesn't get into a bitterness thing or a resentment, because all this stuff piles up and then you're remembering, oh, well, I remember when they said this, or they acted like this, or they, you know, that's, you know, it's indicative, or it indicates that there's that root developing, that bitterness. And I think the situation really brought to my mind that if I'm trying to, you know, as I'm working or doing whatever, if I'm trying to resolve, if I'm trying to figure out what I can say to really get back or win, and I can't seem to shut those thoughts down. So what I did is I said, in the name of Jesus, I renounce these thoughts. I renounce any bitterness. And, you know, but it was rough because it just kept coming back and coming back. So that's, for me, that's a big fight, because I want to see the old man dead. I don't want, and that's what the promise in Romans 6 is, the statement in Romans 6. So the old man has died, gone down in burial, and we're free of the old man. So that's my story this evening.
The scripture that comes to my mind is Ephesians 4. And 26, be ye angry and sin not. That's a question. It is.
I know. Let
the sun go down upon your own wrath. Neither give place.
You can't get mad at. You can't be getting mad at people. That's because that's just the sin itself.
The what?
I'm sorry, Michael. I think I talked over you.
You did.
That means you're defending self.
Yeah. If you don't.
Yeah.
If you don't. Take that fudge. You can even make you up some apple dumplings and some ice cream to take over there too.
Oh! Now, wait, I'm trying to fast now, so this is kind of counterproductive.
Okay. It'll always open up a grin on everybody's face, I'm telling you. Okay, Malcolm. Anything else, brother?
Yep, this fudge has been kind of a trial of itself because it sugared. It had a layer of crystallized sugar at the top, which meant I had to boil it back down again. I don't know how that happened, but so I hate having to boil fudge down again and start the whole many-hour process over again. But I did anyway.
That's why apple dumplings is so much better. Well, it is. I tell you what, I like it. Amber showed me how to do it, told me how to do it. I make it with Mountain Dew, Malcolm. You put that Mountain Dew in there, boy, that'll seal it for good.
Oh, my.
No, really. I'm telling you, that's the truth. That Mountain Dew, boy, I tell you what, it'll bring them right to the knees.
Oh, dear.
Big old grin on the. You didn't do that for me. Sure did, man. You forgive me? Oh, yeah, bring that on in here. Let's eat some. Like that. All right. Anybody else? Got something? I just finished some apple dumplings a while ago, y'all. It was good, too. I'm going to tell you. It was so good. Okay, anyone else?
Michael?
Yeah, Gaynote, how you doing, girl?
Oh, I'm doing good. I was just wanting to share a testimony that was in our local paper. It was about a little baby that was born that they just gave her like a 1% chance to live. Well, actually, I guess even before she was born, they were kind of telling the parents, well, maybe we shouldn't even give her the opportunity of being born, but the parents wouldn't go for that. And so she was born. The mom ended up having mono like 6 weeks or so before the baby was born. But then the baby was born with it's a kidney disease where the kidneys have tumors all over, and they were very much enlarged. And so they didn't think that there was any way this baby could live. But she is now 2.5 months old, and she is defying all odds of what the medical profession thought would happen with this baby. She has the most beautiful name. Her name is Naomi Grace, and they are just in awe of her. But when she was 2 days old, they did remove one of her kidneys, and they are believing they're going to have to remove the other one because it's so large, there's not room for her stomach and all of her other organs. It's just crowding them out. And so what they're saying is that they will sometime in the near future remove the second kidney, and then she'll be on dialysis until she's 3 years old, and then she would be old enough to have a kidney transplant. And I was just wanting to believe that the Lord is going to give her two new kidneys. I just really believe that this is a little girl. He's kept alive for 2.5 months, and no one thought she would even live. And she's still alive. And so I would just like to pray for that. Father, I just bring up this little Naomi Grace to you. I thank you, Father, for the gift of life for her. I thank you for the plans that you have for her. And I know that you have a purpose for her life. And I know that her parents do know you. They have said that they know that this is because of all the prayers going her way. And I just pray that they would just really speak out that it is you. It is you that has kept her alive. And we just thank you, Father, that she was healed at the cross. We just speak just total healing in her little body, new kidneys, and whatever else she needs. It sounds like there's many things, but the kidneys is a big deal right now. We thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in her parents and also in all of her family and everyone that has known about this. We just thank you and praise you, Father, for this miracle, this little baby. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
That's all. I just thought it was just such an awesome story.
It's not over.
No, it's not. And they just say that in the article, it was just saying they just can't believe that this little baby just keeps coming up with a new problem will come forth, and she overcomes it, you know, and it's the Lord that's overcoming it in her. And anyway, it's not the baby doing the overcoming. But anyway, it was an awesome story, and it just shows his love so much. Amen. And I just believe there's going to be a whole lot of people drawn to the Lord because of this little baby. I wanted to share, but I just thought it was an awesome story. Look, testimony of the Lord and his love.
Amen. Can I pray for it too?
You sure can.
I'll pray for it too. Lord, I lift up Naomi Grace to you. This little baby's a fighter. She's fighting for her life, Lord, but you're the one that's got her in your hands. And Lord, you said that the prayers of the saints availeth much. There's a bunch of saints in here. And we believe in, Lord, that you're going to touch that baby, Naomi Grace, right now in the name of Jesus. And every organ in her body be restored as new and the right size that it's supposed to be in the name of Jesus. And every cell in her body be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that she's going to, from this point on, she's going to astound the science world because of your grace and your mercy upon her, Lord, and your love upon her. And I thank you, Father, for making Naomi Grace this miracle that you've created just for such a time as this, Lord, to bring a lot of folks to you. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing through Naomi Grace right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe it? I believe it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anybody else? Got a prayer, a testimony, a praise report, a song, a verse, anything? Don't make me turn my video off and sit back and watch y'all. I tell you what I want to do, actually. I wanted to read a little bit of something here. It's about obedience. And it comes out of Andy. My man Andy. Called the School of Obedience. He says, take scripture as a whole is the name of this subject. Obedience, its place in Holy Scripture. He says, we begin with paradise in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16. We read, and the Lord God commanded the man saying, and later in chapter 3 and verse 11, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee? That thou shouldest not eat. Now note how obedience to the command is the one virtue of paradise, the one condition of man's abiding there, the one thing his creator asks of him. Nothing said of faith or humility or love. Obedience includes all. As supreme as is the claim and authority of God is the demand for obedience as the one thing that is to decide his destiny. In the life of man, to obey is the one thing needful. Now turn now from the beginning to the close of the Bible. In its last chapter in Revelation 22 and 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. Or if we accept the revised version, which gives another reading, we have the same thought in chapters 12 and 14, where we read of the seed of the woman in 12 and 17, which keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus and of the patience of the saints, and in 14 and 12. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. From beginning to end, from paradise lost to paradise regained, the law is unchangeable. It is only obedience that gives access to the tree of life and the favor of God. And if you ask how the change was effected out of the disobedience at the beginning that closed the way to the tree of life, to the obedience at the end that again gained entrance to it, turn to that which stands midway between the beginning and the end of the cross of Christ. And we read in passages like Romans 5 and 19, through the obedience of the one shall the many be made righteous. Or in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, he became obedient unto death, therefore God hath highly exalted him. Or Hebrews 5, chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9, he learned obedience and became the author of salvation to them that obey him. And you see how the whole redemption of Christ consists in restoring obedience to its rightful place. The beauty of his salvation consists in this, that he bring us back to the life of obedience, through which alone the creature can give the Creator the glory due to him, or receive the glory of which his Creator desires to make him partaker. Paradise, Calvary, heaven, all proclaim with one voice, child of God, the first and the last thing that God asks of thee is simple, universal, unchanging obedience. Amen. Praise God. That's what God wants out of us, isn't it? He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Then he goes on. He talks about all the stuff in there that all these people did in obedience or disobedience and what happened to him. So he wants obedience more than he wants anything out of us. And that obedience actually incorporates everything of Jesus in one word, if you think about it. Okay, I just thought I'd throw that out there. Has anybody got any comments? I would like to ask a question. I would like to sing a song. Anything. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
What just came to my mind is there in Hebrews, the end of chapter 3, it talks about unbelief or disobedience and disobedience and unbelief there are the same thing. And so, you know, and it makes me think too of without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to God. And how are you pleasing to God? Obedience. So you got to have faith to obey. If you don't believe, if you can't even have faith and believe and trust in what God's said, how can you even obey? So that's just my thought. So we can be more obedient.
Amen. All right, anybody else? All right, what do y'all want to talk about? Y'all still want to go back to John chapter, what was that, 4 and 24? We talked about a little bit of, we talked at length last week about worshiping God in the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And so what we were finding out that what it was to walk in the Spirit and to seek Him in truth in spirit. And we also went to First Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. When we talked about the first 10 verses there. And I, brother, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you think about that a minute, That's what we ought to be looking in each other, is not to look at the faults that we've got, but to look at the Jesus in us, right? And encourage one another with the Jesus that we see in one another. That's walking in the Spirit. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Ooh, glory to God. That, we're going to see that. We're seeing it already, as a matter of fact. His speech and his preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. He wasn't up there speaking one little scripture and then expounding and telling jokes about it the whole time. He was up there expounding God's power, God's love, God's all about God's gospel, the truth of God's gospel, in the Spirit and of power. When you do it in power, what you see? You see signs and wonders following them, don't you? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to naught. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God put a veil over it. But as it is written, things which eye saw not, ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things prepared for them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Then verse 11, we'll start with that tonight. For who among men knows the things of man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knows it, save the Spirit of God. Somebody want to talk about that? Even so, the things of God none knows save the Spirit of God. Yeah, Willie.
That part of the scriptures are caught, Mike. Can you guys hear me just fine?
Mm-hmm.
I got on a different pair of headphones. I don't know how well they receive. But we speak of wisdom among them that are full grown. And, you know, the first thing I thought about was, you know, obedience. You know, but then, you know, I realized, you know, what about the babes? And the full grown, you know, are those who are in Christ Jesus. The world without Christ Jesus, you know, is without form, without shape, in darkness, you know, over the face of the deep of their hearts, you know. But when we enter into him who is full grown, we speak wisdom among them that are full grown, you know. What is the full grown, you know, the finished product in the sense, you know, the mature, you know. And I just found it interesting that thought came to my mind, like the full grown, you know, those who are obedient in Christ, you know, those who are in Christ Jesus, you know, obeying him, loving him, you know. Of course, we know full grown represents maturity, but, you know, I find it interesting that Christ is the full grown. We speak of wisdom among them that are full grown, you know, who are in Christ, you know, who has received him, not just in the sense of you're mature enough to understand the word, and you read for 50 years, and I speak of wisdom to you that, you know, nobody, you know, the little ones aren't going to be able to perceive, you know. But I also see that full grown thing as them who are in Christ Jesus, those who are obeying him, those who are loving him, you know. I just found that really interesting. Yeah, that's all I got to say.
Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, T.
Push my button. Yeah, you know, one thing that as a before I really came to the Lord and was you know trying to figure things out, it was kind of like an intellectual quest to get you know the knowledge of God and the not necessarily the things of the Spirit, but what you know the Lord had to offer. I was thinking of it as a intelligence thing, not a spiritual thing, and you never got anywhere. And if you did get an answer, it wasn't the whole answer. So I think that's kind of what Paul's saying there is that you know you can study it and you can research it all you want, but until you're actually living it and letting the Spirit into you, and the Spirit is in you, you're not going to know what the things of God are all about.
Amen. That's true. You got to have the Spirit of God in order to understand what's going on, what he's saying. That's true. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Daryl, go ahead, brother.
Well, I've got the King James. I don't know who else has that version. I'm trying to understand what the first part of the verse says. If anybody, you know, I'm going to throw this out there, whatever. It says, for what man knoweth the things of a man? I think that's basically, well, you know, whatever things of that specific man he's speaking of. It says, save the spirit of man which is in him. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Is that talking about the man's spirit? Whatever man they're talking about, I guess is, I mean, if whoever can clarify that. Not the Spirit of God, you know, as it says in the last part of the verse, but the first part, is that the human spirit, I guess, is what it's speaking of?
Well, here's what it says in ASV. For who among men knows the things of man save the spirit of the man? In okay. other words, the spirit of the man is the only thing that understands the things of man. Okay. That's what he's talking about there. That's what it looks like. Anybody got something there?
I'll go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, Willie, go ahead.
Innermost being. You know, who knows the thoughts of a man? Who knows what's going on in the innermost being of a man, save the spirit of man? Who knows what's going on in the innermost being of God, save the spirit of God? The Spirit of God searches the deep things of God, you know, and reveals it unto us. So it's talking about, you know, the innermost being, you know.
Okay. Makes sense.
And that's, you know, that's why you get that comparing it to God after that, you know.
Yep.
Amen. Even so, the things of God, none knows save the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows all, doesn't it? Knows everything. Then he goes on in verse 12, he says, but we received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. Oh boy, what does that mean? Go ahead.
Can you read that one more time?
Yeah. But we received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God.
Wow, that's interesting. Spirit of the world. You know, if you can think about it as, you know, being the spirit of a man, you know, worldly, sensual, you know, devilish. Oh my goodness. And then there's the spirit of God, you know. But yeah, oh my goodness, I gotta put that scripture in front of my face. What chapter and verse are you in?
Verse 12. Go ahead, Missy, while he's looking at it.
What book was it again?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12.
Well, what comes to me is world is the Antichrist spirit.
Yeah.
The spirit of God is the spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think of. You know, it's, you know, there's no in between. You're either one or the other.
Well, are you saying that we can't have a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom?
It don't work that way.
Okay. So what is somebody that has a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom?
Say that recently.
That's lukewarm, isn't it? As somebody that's lukewarm.
Right. If you can do that, then you're on the left.
Yeah, you're a goat.
you're totally in the world.
Yep.
Be not deceived.
Yeah. That's exactly right. You can't have a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom. It doesn't work like that. Like Mrs. said, it's you're either in the kingdom or you're in the world. If you got a foot in the world, you're in the world. If you got both feet in the kingdom, where you at? You're in the kingdom.
I can't say it no better than that. Amen.
But we received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. So if we've got the spirit of God in us, and we, as we read the word of God, we understand the word of God by the spirit, right?
Did you see that other part right there? The spirit of the world will not let you see what you freely have. You know, from God. You know, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Amen.
That's neat.
Amen.
So if anybody's struggling with the spirit of the world, you know, well, just let it go. Get rid of it, you know. I'm not going to let you see what you freely have in Christ Jesus.
How do we get rid of the spirit of the world? If we want the spirit of God, that's what we've been talking about. We want to walk in the spirit. How do we get rid of that spirit of the world?
I can tell you what happened to me.
Okay.
The Lord let me get to a place where I became absolutely burnt out with trying to please God. You know? I got to this place where I just told the Lord, I'm done. You know, I'm not going to, I spent 15 years, you know, following after Christ, using the spirit of the world. I got to do everything I can to make God happy so I could be happy and blessed, you know. And that's the way I followed God, you know. And once I got, you know, once I got burnt out, then the Lord brought me to that place, you know, of accepting who I was in Christ, you know. And after that, he brought me to the place of surrender. But there's no way I could have accepted surrendering without accepting, you know, who I was in Christ. And that's how he broke me down on my own. As my own testimony.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sounded like, Willie, you had a Peter experience. Because you remember what happened to Peter. He said, Lord, I follow you. It don't make me know nothing. I'm going to follow you all the way to the cross, you know, if I have to.
And that's what I was trying to do. Oh, Lord, I'm going to do everything I can. You know, I'm going to fight devils and principalities and powers. And, you know, I'm going to show myself faithful. I'm going to make you so happy with me. I'm going to be, man, look, I got burnt out, man. It was 15 years of misery. Oh, it was the roughest walk in the world, man. Oh, my God. Felt like I was being dragged through, you know, jagged stones trying to keep it, you know. And I got to a point, and I wish I would have recorded that night, you know, where I sat there and I said, it may have been after one of the Bible studies here. And I was just sitting here on my bed, and I said, you know what, Lord, I'm done. I was done. You know, I said, either you're, you know, it was an absolute, you know, giving up of myself. But, you know, having that realization that it is totally impossible to keep the gospel without the Holy Spirit is a realization you really have to come to. You really do. You know, it's not about getting saved and then trying everything you can possibly do to please God. You know, it's just, you know, you accept who you are in Christ. Accept it for what it is. You know, sinless, blameless, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, you know, absolutely new. You know, Father brought me through an interesting process. To where even today he started working with me on TV stuff. You know, I wanted to look at my favorite TV show and it just kept coming up in my mind, you know. Didn't they just blaspheme God in that last episode? What would you want to look at the other one for? That make no sense. You're going to look at it and you're going to hear some type of blasphemy again and you're going to be disappointed. And you're going to try to rake your way through the episode just to try to figure out the outcome. You know, it's an endless, you know, addictive cycle. You know, it causes stumbling. You know, TV causes a lot of things to happen to you in your life. You know, it really does. You would not believe how much of the walk of Christ it destroys, how much of the purity that you should have in Christ. You know, that it interferes with, you know, how much of the fellowship. You can literally have fellowship with God all day. And that's what he turned my whole entire day into. Every time I tried to, oh, I'm going to check out this last episode, the Lord was like, no, didn't they blaspheme Christ in that last episode? And that's, he just kept bringing that up to me. And I said, they sure enough did. I said, I'm not even going to look at that. Like, what about the other TV shows you like to look at? I said, that's a bunch of garbage, too. The only thing it's going to do is waste my time. You know, why don't you go check out something on YouTube, stuff on UFOs, and see what they're saying about, you know, aliens and stuff. Because, you know, I understand that it's the demonic realm. Like, yeah, I could probably check that out. But don't you want to look at your other favorite TV shows? And it kept trying to get me back to that TV thing. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to look at the UFO crap. You know, even if it's true or even, you know, whatever, it's all trying to get me away from having fellowship with Christ. You know, God kept telling me, you need to listen to Jeremiah. So I'm listening to Jeremiah, you know, and I'm listening more to Jeremiah. You know, oh, I should probably take a break. Yeah, and check out that favorite TV show I was talking about. you know, interesting day today, though. Very interesting. Very interesting day. Stay away from TV, man. It's dangerous. All right, I don't got nothing more to say.
Amen. Well, that's exactly what goes on, isn't it? That's exactly what goes on. You sit down with the Bible, and you can think of 19 things you needed to be doing instead of reading the Bible, but you plug away. you stay with it because you love the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody relate to what Willie was saying?
Yeah, Brother Michael, when it talks about in verse 11, I don't know what version of the Bible I've got, NRSV, I don't even know what that is, but it says, "For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within?" And that got me thinking about the difference between the human spirit, the unregenerative spirit, and the spirit of God in a born-again person is who is on the throne in that holy of holies. If the human spirit is all about me and I and doing what I want to do, you think about these hippies and different ones that just want to follow their own spirit, and they just, you know, they're all about freedom and doing what they want to do. And that could be anybody. It just, hippies come to mind, I guess. But when the spirit of God in, it's total upside down of what the world thinks of man's wisdom, but it's a life-giving spirit, and it gives us provision, and it gives us safety, and it gives us words of knowledge. It helps us have those rivers of living water that flow through us. We become a I guess by submitting to that spirit of God in us and letting him stay on the throne in our own hearts, it gives us peace that we can impart to other people. And that's basically about all I'm getting from that. But it just, I think too of where Hebrews 5, somewhere in Hebrews 5, I think it talks about having our senses, the difference between milk, solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. It's that same spirit when we come off the milk of God's word and we're raised on the solid food. It's that, it says this says faculties, but I think it's talking about our senses are trained through use, and by living by the spirit, our senses become tuned in to the spirit instead of that human spirit is always overpowered by the five senses and the input that come in through the physical. But when we're tuned into the spirit of God, then our senses are tuned in to a different level. And it's not just everything that's being fed through our physical senses, but it's training our senses to distinguish between good and evil and living on a level where we're actually doing battle against the enemy and we're taken back from the enemy instead of just thinking about our poor little life and how are we going to protect our life. We get on a level that God says, I'm going to show you what life really is. And, I may be speaking too much, but I'm enjoying it, and I think I'm going to probably study it out a little bit myself. Thank y'all.
Amen. What it says in the ASV, it said, but solid food is for full-grown men, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And you're exactly right. That full-grown man is the one that does that. Because they have used the Word of God. They had studied the Word of God. And they had their senses exercised to discern good from evil. We know as children and brothers and sisters of God the difference between good and evil. as we study the word. And as we find out what's evil, we repent if we've been doing it and get on the road to doing the right thing. Repent just means change and do what the word says, you know. He's right. Solid food is for full-grown men. Those who by reason of use of what? Solid food. Have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Because we study the word and we understand what the difference is. Even the Spirit tells us, he teaches us those things. Opens our eyes to see. A lot of times, I know a lot of people can see. You know, we're walking down the street. Most of y'all have, if not all of them, have seen demons in people's eyes, you know. Say, my goodness. I told you about that time over in Memphis when I saw that guy that had a demon big as Texas. Scared me half to death. And I ain't one to get scared. Till, you know, I was scared until the Lord showed me that I didn't need to be scared. He was there. And that's what he's talking about, a full-grown man. Okay, going back. Now, let's see. Now let's go. Anybody got anything else on verse 12? But we received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. Freely given to us of God. Go ahead, Denny. You fixing to say something? Oh, you look like you've been in over there. Hit that button, boy. You gotta hit the mute button if you're gonna talk. Let me unmute you. Let me unmute you. Now talk. What? You muted yourself. Hey, Denny. Hold it. You're talking. Ain't nobody hear a word you're saying. Let me unmute you. I'm going on. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I was pointing out something to Debbie. We're just learning the computer. We're just getting on it. So, okay. And showing her something. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Amen. That's a fun thing. Y'all are regular techies now.
Oh, not look. We did something messed. We just messed up.
Sign up.
Amen. Then we'll go on to 13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. What's he talking about there? Getting emails. That's it. Y'all hear the ringing sound? Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, that's kind of like where I was going earlier, the intellect as opposed to the heart wisdom. What I was thinking about as we're studying this is that all through the book, you know, anytime man's wisdom is mentioned, it's in a negative connotation. But there's multiple, I mean, almost all the references to spiritual wisdom. And it's maybe it's the spirit of wisdom, clear back in the Old Testament. And there's a lot in the Bible about wisdom. When it's all good, except for when it's talking about man's wisdom. And I started to make notes on it at one time because I was going to keep track of it. But first of all, I lost the note sheet, and then there was so much. But there is a lot, you know, just about wisdom and a spirit of wisdom, clear into revelation and stuff, and all the positiveness of it. But it's spiritual wisdom that's given with the Holy Spirit, and that wisdom is one of the things that's freely given of God if you accept part of the grace. Really allows us to all grow exponentially once we can start tap into that wisdom and exercising it in our lives and in our study and in our prayer.
Amen. Amen. Spiritual things with spiritual words. Combining spiritual things with spiritual words. What's he talking about there? Go ahead, Willie.
I would think, since this is Corinthians, you know, and they were messing up at the time, I would think it'd either be combining spiritual actions with spiritual words, or spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, or spiritual behavior with spiritual words, or faith with spiritual words, you know, whatever, you know. It has to come in agreement with the Word of God. You know, if it's outside the course of the Word of God, you know, let them that are spiritual, you know, as Paul said, discern, you know, what I'm telling you is the truth. You know, you'll be able to see, you know, if this ain't the truth, you know, combine it with the spiritual word. Does it look like the truth? You know, when you handle it, you know, does it, you know, is it used in spirit and truth? You know, when you see it, you see it in spirit and in truth. You know, just like the disciples said, you know, that which eyes have seen, you know, our hands have handled, you know, our ears have heard, you know, of the word of life. You know, this is what we're given to you. You know, but if you don't see that nature of the word of life, you know, working in God's people, then it's the spirit of the world. You know, and it can't be compared with spiritual words. You know, it's outside the word of God. But if it's from God, you know, it says it'll come from the spirit of God, and you'll be able to compare it with spiritual words. It'll line up with the word of God. Well, that's what I get from it.
Amen. That makes sense to me. Anybody else? If it don't line up with the word of God, it ain't spiritual, is it? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, you can almost make a study out of listing all the things that are spirit, speaking in the spirit, hearing in the spirit, praying in the spirit, discerning the spirit. We start combining that with the spiritual words, and I think the words, you know, it's like the Lord spoke everything into being. So when you're combining the things that are spiritual with spiritual words, you're kind of bringing our spirit man into being by speaking it into being. That's what I'm getting out of that.
Amen. Amen. That's good. All right, let's see. Anything on anything else anybody want to talk about on 13? There's a lot here in all this stuff. There's a lot. In 14. Now, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. Well, we pretty much know what that all means, because we see it every day. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Even in the church, that's true. Because you got a lot of natural people in the mainline denominations that don't understand the Spirit of God. Don't even recognize the Spirit of God. Now the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know this. They explain away the spiritual things of God, like, well, all that stuff left out when the apostles died. Which one? Which one? Was they all lined up when John was about ready to die and wanting to get healed before he died, and that was it, you know? Healing was done away with? No. They wasn't all lined up waiting to get touched by John before he died. There was more apostles after that. The word tells us that. But anyway, that's man's wisdom. Then we're going on to 15. But he that is spiritual, now we're getting here. He that is spiritual judges all things. And he himself is judged of no man. What's that mean? I'm just a poor old farm boy. I don't know a whole lot. Maybe somebody can help me out here. He that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. Yeah, go ahead. Willie or Tim, either one, or Joe. go ahead, Willie. You're already up there.
A judge is somebody who would know the law, you know. You know, so the Spirit of God is not in you, you know. How are you going to, you're not a judge, you know. And you can't be judged by man because they don't have the Spirit of God in them, you know. To judge, rather, if a thing is right or wrong. To discern if it's the truth or a lie, you know. To hear the voice of God, you know. To know the oracles of God, you know, to be, what's that word that I'm looking for? I guess it's the same word, oracle. To speak as an oracle of God, you know. That's all I got to say. I just saw that word judge in there, you know. They had judges in the Old Testament. And what did the judges do? You know, they discerned between good and evil. And they judged because of it. You know, but they themselves, you know, were judged of no man once they received that revelation from God, if it was good or evil, you know. I'm sorry, I'm going ahead. Let me stop.
All right, go ahead, Tim.
My thinking on it is that as or approach complete maturity, I guess after you would have attained spiritual maturity, that you would be equipped to judge things in the Spirit, that you would have the wisdom and the Spirit of God in your psyche and in your in your spirit to discern the good, the bad, the prophecies and all that that comes with as we mature, and that's why perfection is what we're attaining to, maturity and completeness. Because at that point you would become a spiritual rather than a carnal being, and that would give you the wisdom and the good wisdom to be able to judge actions, thoughts, and things of other people. And so I think it's really, when he says spiritual, he's looking for complete maturity there before he wants to be able to judge.
Somebody who has conquered the flesh, right, and the world. Somebody that is walking in the spiritual, in the spirit. Go ahead, Joe.
You two already answered my point, so hey. I don't think I've got anything to say there. No, okay. No, it's just the first thing that came to mind was, yeah, what you said and what Tim said. And I remember David bringing this up during the Curse of Unforgiveness series when he talks about that governmental unforgiveness. It's elders who judge. You know, elders have that right, from what I understand, because they're spiritually discerning. They're not, they've conquered the flesh, as you said. It's not an issue, so they can see clearly. And they're led by the Holy Spirit, so yeah, they could, they have a right to judge, you know, from how I see it. So I'm thinking, yeah, I see there's a bunch of carnal, fleshly Christians out there and so-called elders, you know, that doing all this judging, but they don't, they're not led by the Spirit. So, but yeah, that's why they're not, as he pointed out, you know, they're not exercising that governmental unforgiveness, as he's saying, you know, not forgiving an individual and kicking them out of the body because of that sin, you know, in the midst of them. So I think it kind of, you know, yeah, I thought about that. I said, well, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I mean, there's, if you're walking by the Spirit and the flesh is dead, you know, you've dealt with them. You've got a right to judge because you know what to judge. Yeah, you know right from wrong. So, amen.
Well, I like what you said there. You said the spiritual man thinks clearly, yeah. And that's exactly right. The fleshly man can't think clearly because his flesh is getting in the way, blinding him. But the spiritual man is looking with God's eyes, right? That's good. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Came to me about that there, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and he himself is judged of no man. What came to my mind was 1 John 3:19-21. It says, hereby shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before him. Because if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And I might as well finish. And this is the commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us. Talking about judging, you know, it's like, you know, if our heart condemns us not, in other words, we're you know, we're examining our hearts. We're judging ourselves, you know, in a sense. anyway, that's just what came to me. I don't know, you know, if it, how much it applies to it, but that's just what popped into my head.
That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. Because Christ is abiding in us. And if he's abiding in us, then we do see clearly. That's right. Joseph.
And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us, which is going back to the whole. Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's good.
Wow, thank you, Lord. Lord, you're so cool.
Yeah, he is cool. And it's hard to be judged by a man if not looking at the truth of Spirit. Can't be judged by somebody that's not having the Spirit of God. Then verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. First Corinthians 2:16. Do you have something, Missy? Did you raise your hand?
I was going to look and see where it was at, but we have the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And what came to me is, I forget where it's at, I have to look it up. In the Old Testament somewhere, it says, command ye me.
Yep. Let's see. Is that Elijah?
I have to look it up, but that just, I think that's where it's at, Isaiah.
We've had that from God, you know, command ye me.
I believe that's Isaiah 45.
Oh boy. Let me see here.
There it is, verse 11, 45:11.
Cool.
Says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hand. Command ye me. That's a statement. Command ye me. Okay. He's telling us to pray, command him to do these things. That's some of the promises, right? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, Willie.
Have you ever noticed how much we try to instruct God through our unbelief?
Well, no, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, you're pretty good.
You know, but God, you know, if you just, I was sitting in the car, you know, with the mother of my children, and we were talking. And I said, it's amazing, you know, how precious sin is to people. And they're like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, it's like, how can I get out of it? And, you know, it has to stop being precious to you. Unbelief has to stop being precious to you. And the Lord just started talking to me, you know, to talk to her. And he said, you know, sin is precious to people. Although they want to serve me, sin is precious to them. Their unbelief is precious to them. You know, they feed it. They speak according to it. You know, they obey it. You know, they, and he was just showing me how, you know, how, if we would just stop treating it so precious, like it's our precious treasure, you know. I always, when I had unbelief, I exercised myself in unbelief, right? I'd speak about my unbelief. I'll talk in unbelief. I'll walk in unbelief. I'll see in unbelief, you know. I'll pray in unbelief. Why did I do that, you know? But what the Lord was trying to show me was, you know, it's amazing how precious sin is to people. They treat it so precious when they should treat my word the same way, you know, or more than that. You know, they give everything to unbelief. They give everything to, you know, sins they're struggling with, you know. They give their, you know, their mind, you know, their behavior, their words, their thoughts, you know, their obedience. And this is, you know, the Lord was just showing me, you know, if you would just stop treating it as being so precious, you know, as that little treasure. And he began to show me, you know, whatever treasures you store up your treasures in heaven, where neither, you know, does, you know that scripture. He compared it to that scripture. And he said, and it was like, you know, the way he was breaking me from unbelief was not to treat it anymore as a precious thing. Not to speak according to it. Not to choose to obey it anymore. You know, is precious to you because you keep sowing into it. You obey it, you know, you're speaking, you know, you get on your knees and you talk to God in that very nature. I can't, I'll never. Oh Lord, you know, if you would just help me, it's not possible. I'm out of strength, you know, and you know, God keeps bringing you to that area over and over, you know, to let it go. You know, that's when I just wanted to share that part. And, you know, just the thought on how much we try to instruct the Lord through our unbelief, you know.
Well, I like what you say, because that just struck home, you know. Sin is so precious to us. And it is if you think about it, you know. What are you trying to get rid of? Well, quit making it so precious to you.
Yeah. It's like, man, just don't make it precious anymore.
Amen. I like that. That is so cool. Because if you think about it, those things that we keep stumbling over time and time and time again is precious to us. Give it up. Let the Lord take it out of you. We like to get angry because I'm justified to be angry. I'm precious to me, man. It makes me so angry. It rises up inside of me. I can say things, you know. The Lord said, don't do that. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I like that, Willie. Oh, you come up with some nuggets, I tell you. I wouldn't tell you that anyway.
We do have a lot of gold in Africa.
Oh, my. Here we go. Okay, yeah, I like that. I really do. I think that's awesome to put it in that if you put it in that context right there, you can see where you are in your sin. Just like you were talking about a while ago about that reading the word, you know, boy, that TV program fixing to come on, I ought to go in there, you know, that kind of thing. It's not precious to you anymore. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, here's another part of that, you know, being precious to us. Well, it's the flesh that likes the sin, and it's our flesh that, you know, really loves that it's precious to us. It's that sin, the flesh loves that, you know, until you know your spirit man gets so strong to the point, you know, after so many times, like you said, you know, having a hard time giving up something or whatever, you know, finally gets stronger and you get to the point where you really do hate it. That's when you get free from it.
I know. I tried to talk with the meat thing. When you understand that it's precious to you, that's when it makes it. That's when you understand it's time to get rid of it. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know. It's precious to me. That sin that God really don't like. He don't like it at all. He wants you to get rid of it. Why make it so precious to you? Willie, quit that. Amen. No, that's good. That's really good. It makes you conscientious about your sin. And that's a good thing, because then you can say, Lord, take it out. I don't want it anymore. I'm going to rest in the knowledge. It's gone, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to worry about that no more. Amen. That's so cool. I'm going to underline that. Sin is so precious to us. Mm-hmm. I see somebody sinning. Guess what I'm going to say? No, I wouldn't do that. Yeah, I would. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother. Joe Britt.
I was just thinking, I don't think we make it a serious commitment if you've been born again. But you start your maturity life, but then Christ is in you. If you watch TV, if you're doing, no, what is it wrong? It's Christ in you. It's a serious responsibility. It's not just a, it shouldn't be an easy decision or an emotional decision. It's just, if you think about it, should Christ be with me by watching TV or by watching, not the way too specific to anybody, but it's, if you're watching TV or you're doing this, if I accept Christ, it should be a mature thinking, daily living. It's, for me, it's just, well, thanks, that's all.
Well, that's right. It ought to be a rest, though. You ought to be able to kick back in the rest of the Lord, you know, sit there and read the Word of God. Look at what God's talking about here, you know. And don't worry about what God's, like Willie was talking about, and all of us have done the same thing, and that's trying to work our way into heaven. We just rest and let God take care of us because of our faith. And that faith God gave to us, we don't have to worry about it. Just rest in that knowledge. Keep reading and studying the Word of God. And as you do that, watch what happened. David talks about when he studied the Word of God, he was just in it day and night, day and night. That was, you know, and his pot sitting up there getting old in the cabinet, you know, and his all his toys out there in the garage, in the shop, it was getting all, wasn't anything getting done on him. All he was doing was studying the Word of God. And he said, sin just fell off me like water on a duck's back. He said, I woke up one day and found out I was saved. And nobody had to lay hands on him or pray for him or anything. He was just reading the Word of God. And that's the way the sin leads us to, the same way. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, this is some good stuff we've been having here the last few days. This has been some good stuff. Andrew, how you doing? Okay. Praise God. Well, that was the last verse in that one. Anybody got anything else? We got 65 more books to go through. Hey, Joe. Joe Britz, are you satisfied? I am, about what's been talked about, the spiritual walk that... we had started out with your question that we started out with. I know you did that to provoke us, and that was good, and it worked.
Yeah, I learned a lot. It's just the way many people think, different angles. It's amazing. It's, thank you, Lord.
It is. It is. It is. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Joe D.
Question. Well, what was his question? I missed it. Well, I wasn't here Tuesday if that's when it was.
Yeah. He referenced John chapter 4, verse 24.
Oh, okay.
And John 4, 24 says this. It said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the question was, what is it to walk in the Spirit?
Okay.
And so we talked last week a lot about walking in the Spirit and the things that people had verses. Then we got into 1 Corinthians 2 and started out in verse 1, just went down through there because it's a good book on, good chapter on walking in the Spirit, you know.
Okay. Okay, you first brought up John 4, and I was like, is it John 4 or 1 Corinthians 2? You were saying then 1 Corinthians 2, and I'm like, wait a minute, are we in John 4 or 1 Corinthians 2? But I see what you're saying now. I was confused because I was like, is it one or the other? Which one is it? I see.
That's both.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got you. Okay.
All right. John, by the way, John is one of my favorite books. I probably a lot of y'all's too, but it's crazy thing. Nope, it's not crazy. I ain't speaking that on my computer. You better line up with the Word of God right now. Yeah, Willie.
You know, one of the things that used to get me. When the Lord would put me in a situation, you know, and I had no idea what he was doing, you know, up until now, you know, when he would put me in a situation, you know, you could be visiting a friend in the hospital or hear something about somebody, and it came to you, and I didn't have enough faith, you know, to really believe for that person. So I would enter into this place of rejection, you know, and doubt and condemnation and disappointment. And, you know, I had no idea it was the Lord, you know, trying to get me to exercise myself, you know, in good works, you know, because I was trying to make the Lord happy by my own strength, you know. And he was trying to get me to exercise faith in spiritual things by putting me in places of weakness. I fell into condemnation. I fell into rejection. I fell into unbelief. I fell into doubt. And, you know, I just felt like I was just a disappointing person of God, you know. But it was because I was trying to follow God, you know, with my own strength, you know. But I had no idea. God was trying to push me into spiritual things, trying to get me to let go of myself and trust in him. I had no idea. I was so blinded by that worldly spirit, you know, by that spirit of the world, you know, which could not receive the things of the Spirit of God. You know, I missed out on so many opportunities, you know, so many opportunities. That the Lord put me in, you know, being around people in hospitals. And I'm like, man, you know, I'm not the one that's here. And, you know, you end up, you're surprised sometimes that you're not the one in that hospital. And then you want to pray for the person. And, you know, the faith just ain't there. You know, the hope isn't there. The love isn't there. The peace isn't there. The joy isn't there. Why? Because you're following God after your own strength. You know, that's a good way to see if you're following God after your own strength, you know. But I didn't notice it up until, you know, since the Lord started changing my life. He started changing my life. You know, sin ain't precious anymore. That unbelief isn't precious anymore. That doubt is not precious to me anymore. You know, that rejection is no longer precious to me anymore. That fear is not precious to me anymore. Now, all those things used to be precious to me, you know, because I tried following God after my own strength. And so I used them as accountability to my service to God. And that's what made them so very precious to me. You know, they were like, what do you call those weights? Not scales, but, what is it? Almost like a plummet line or a scale or something to, you know, I used it for those things, you know, to judge my devotion to God, to judge my character to God, you know, to judge my love to God. You know, those things were precious because I was running after God in my own strength. And because I had no spiritual discernment at the time, I only had that worldly spirit, you know, to try to, you know, to judge my walk in Christ, you know, to judge my faithfulness in Christ, you know. And it was constantly, oh, I can't pray for this person because that condition is so bad, they just gonna die. You know, and when I tried to pray for them, I felt so empty, you know, I felt so powerless, you know, I felt so faithless, so hopeless, you know, I felt like I was gonna die with them. You know, it's and that's how you can judge if you're following God after your own strength. You know, you got no joy at that moment when you see that person in the hospital then it's time to pray for them. You got no peace. You got no love. You know, you got no hope. You know, you got no rest. There's just this void, hoping for God's power to show up. You know, and, you know, wishing that God would give you the strength to pray them out of their affliction. You know. But yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Pretty good. All right, go ahead, Tim.
Hey, I just wanted to say I could really relate to all that. I don't know if everybody can, but I think we all, in the beginning, before we have enough of the word in us, that we know where we want to go, but we're trying to do it by ourselves. And, you know, we're struggling. We don't have the tools, but we want to build something. But I know personally I struggled with that a lot because I was, you know, I was trying to do it by myself and not let the Lord do it in me. And it always fails. It always is condemning to yourself and very ineffectual because it's us doing it, not God doing it through us. So I just want to tell you I can relate, brother. by the nodding I see on the screen, I think we've all been there. So thanks for putting that into words for us.
Amen. 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 Yep, we've all been there. Some of us still there. We're just resting there, letting God do that work. We're learning how to do that, and that's good. All right, anybody else? Listen to what Jesus says. Go on down in John 4. We was in 24. Now let's move on down to 34. Go up 10 verses. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. Is that not what he's asked us to do? The same thing. Our will should be to do the will of him that sent us and to accomplish his work. And we accomplish that work by faith and love and obedience. That's all I wanted to say on that, is just that we just do the will of God and allow him to do it in us. All he wants us to do is just to study about him and have the faith and believe the promises and love our neighbors as ourselves. And don't make no never mind what they say to you or do to you. Doesn't make a bit of, you know, it really doesn't. Amen. You know what matters more than anything? It's pleasing God. Are you, you know, before you do something, a lot of times I do this, but is God really going to like this? That you're fixing to do? Like, Willie was talking about that he, you know, we've all had problems with TV in the past, but I think we've all pretty much gotten over that. But YouTube, what about YouTube? I'm just asking here about what YouTube does to you, because it does something to me sometimes. And I find myself looking at it, and is God pleased with me for looking at YouTube instead of studying his word and understanding what he's telling me? And, you know, just things like that. Are we news junkies? You know, we got to find out what's going on today. Got to get in there and find out what X-22 is saying. We got to find out this one. We got to find out that one. Better find out what God got to say. Go ahead, Missy.
What you just said reminded me of something. I don't know if you probably didn't get a chance to see this because it was posted right before the
an email.
Yeah, well, Judy posted a word. It's called King of the North, and it's by Byron Cyril. Cyril, whatever. And what you said made me think of this. Can I read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, first he gives the verses, Jeremiah 51:47 to 48. Therefore, behold, the come that I will be judgment upon the great image of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoiler shall come unto her from the north, says the Lord. And this is the word that the Lord gave him. My son, I have said through many of my servants that speak my words, that the army from the north prepares for war against America and her people. But I say, because my people are so caught up with the season, they are not watching what is coming. My people refuse to believe my servants and rely on the media to give them the truth. They trust in the news and the government to warn them if anything is amiss. Thus, says the Lord, all is amiss. Your government plots with the king of the north to take down this nation. My son, my people, do not listen to me, but to man, and they will be taken captive to serve the king of the north. A great war will come to this land of the free, and they will be free no more. My people will face great peril just to worship me and be forced to go underground. My people, this word should shake you up, but I know it won't, for you have heard this for many years, and all is still the same. They say the king of the north has always threatened, but we are great and strong. They will never attack us. But I say you are deceived by a lying king saying, keep America great. America, your pride and sin have come before my throne, and I have pronounced judgment on you. Your land will be attacked by my spoilers, and your cities will be turned into ashes. Your men will die defending your cities, and your young men will be taken captive. Your women will be captured and made to serve the spoilers. This judgment is for the pride and arrogance of a haughty, sinful nation. My son, I say, be ready. My son, I say, to ready my people. Repent now while the repentance is easy. In captivity, it will be almost impossible to cry out. My children will wake up, and great revivals will stretch across the land. Then the end. I will retrieve those who are mine. I love you, my children. Come to me, and I will open your blind eyes and cleanse your sins by my blood. I am Jesus. I am coming soon, very soon. Amen. Messiah Jesus.
I only have one problem with that. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I do believe that the King of the North is going to take over, but I believe it's going to be, you know, way on up into the tribulation, probably the last 3.5 years, probably the last day, up in the last.
Made me think of Joel's Northern Army.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay, explain it.
And it makes me think of Civil War, too, this factious spirit.
Absolutely. I think we're going to have that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can see it as something that could happen now in that respect.
Spiritually speaking, yeah.
Yeah. That's what it made me think of.
Yeah.
And then okay. The actual physical northern, which I believe is talking about Russia, you know. So, but anyway, so I thought that was interesting when you said about the news and all. That just was like, came to my mind right away. So
you got something, Joe?
Well, no, I would agree. That sounds like Russia. I was looking back several few weeks ago, but about what Dimitri Dudeman was saying, because I think Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Hour has been saying some of the same stuff as you said, Missy. You know, I guess before the tribulation, but then I had to stop and think, wait a minute, don't we believe that'll be later in the tribulation? So I was kind of like, when exactly is that going to happen? Because Dimitri Dudeman said when it's like a time of peace and safety, you know, the communists who've infiltrated America know where the nuclear cache is, and then that's when we'll be attacked. Kind of sounds a little bit like what you were saying there, Missy, when Stan Johnson was kind of revisiting that.
Yeah, I believe that'll probably happen, but I don't think it's going to happen in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we'll see. Well, we're about out of time.
True.
It's been an awesome night. I really enjoyed it. Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you, Father, for the work you're doing in us. I just love these types of studies. That's what they are, studies. And everybody gives a little part. Everybody gets a nugget here and there, and it opens our eyes up to a lot of things that need to be taken care of. And, Father, I just ask that you go with us this weekend. I thank you for the RV happening in the morning, Lord. I just thank you. But so that God's people can get the refuges ready, Lord. And I believe that's why it's going to be done. And I just praise you, Father, for making an easy transition in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that all these governments that are trying to open up their borders to all of these nefarious people that are coming in, Lord, I just ask that your chosen be in safe places. And I thank you for that, Lord. Give us a good night's sleep tonight. Give us dreams of the things to come. And love on us, Lord, and as we love on you. And we thank you for giving us a good time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all. Let me unmute everybody. All right, y'all are unmuted.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Good night, y'all. Bless y'all.